Well, good morning, ANCF. It's good to be together. We are going through a series of messages. This is the third one in a series on hospitality. One of the things that we want to see as part of lived out in our lives is the biblical value of hospitality. And so we're trying to deepen an understanding of what that looks like through the stories that are in the Bible of people who practice hospitality. And we're also trying to learn how to overcome the obstacles that would keep us from practicing the welcome of strangers in our lives, to be open to receiving people into our lives who are foreigners, aliens, strangers. And we've looked at two stories so far. We looked at a story of a rich woman from a place called Shunem who opened her home to Elisha the prophet, and as a result of that, the deep desire of her heart to have a son, to have a child, was answered. And so there was a supernatural provision in her life of a son. And then later on, when that son became ill and died, there was a resurrection power that came into that family because Elijah prayed for that child and he came back to life. And then we saw the story of a widow, a poor widow, who is down to her very last meal. And then God sends Elijah the prophet to her home. And she's given a word from God that if she shares her last meal, that God is going to do something for her. And she does that in faith. She overcomes her fears. She overcomes the lack that she has in her life, the fear that she's going to have nothing left. And she shares that. And as a result, there's a supernatural provision of daily food for her and her family. And also later on, her son also becomes ill and dies. And there's another resurrection in that family. It's pretty incredible. But in that story, we realize that one of the obstacles that we have to overcome in order to practice hospitality is fear. Fear that our resources are going to be used up, fear of our time being used up, fear of what can happen to us. Lots of different fears keep us from welcoming people that are different than ourselves. Fear whether we'll be able to understand them, fear about whether or not they'll stay too long. You know, there can be so many fears that can keep us from practicing hospitality. And so the widow of Zarephath was a story that was intending to teach us how to overcome our fears and to trust God, and again be encouraged that God wants to show up when we practice hospitality in a special way, that we encounter God in the process of practicing hospitality. Today we're going to look at another story that deals with maybe the other major obstacle to hospitality, which is the busyness of our lives. And we're going to look at it from the context of someone who invited Jesus over. Now, the Bible tells us indeed that one of the characteristics of the righteous in the resurrection is that when Jesus speaks to the sheep, he says to them, I was a stranger and you invited me in. Again, that's an indication that one of the characteristics of those followers of Jesus, those people who live the life that God calls them to, is that they are welcoming strangers. And in that sense, we are always looking for God to show up when we practice hospitality. That's what happened to to the widow of Zarephath and the woman in Shunem. It's the continuing story that we're not only hosting a person, but that somehow Jesus is coming to our house. And in the story we read today, Jesus actually does come to the house. But unfortunately, the person in this story, instead of having the delightful experience of hospitality, finds out that it's a burden. And the reality is that for some of us, for many of us, the practice of hospitality can become burdensome. And so we want to learn from Jesus today how not to be burdened when we practice hospitality, how to deal with the issue of busyness that keeps us from practicing it. So let's go ahead and pray and ask for God's help. Lord, thank you that your words are life. And you want to revive us today by your word, that we might be full of life. And so I pray that you come by your Holy Spirit and speak to each one of us. Lord, that bursting in our hearts would be your truth, and that it would satisfy and fill us up. And Lord, that it would break through every obstacle and barrier that keeps us from knowing you better. Lord, come and do your good work through your word today in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at the story in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. It's a very short story. And I also believe that God is going to use this story to speak to all of us who carry different burdens in our life. I believe God wants to really minister to us today. Now, to get you active again, what I'd like to do is have you stand and let's read this together. Okay? Okay, let's read. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Okay, you can be seated. Okay, so let me ask you some questions to begin with here. Four questions. So I want you to engage with the story. And I want you to respond. So you've read the story. Martha opens her home to Jesus. Jesus comes there, and she finds herself in the kitchen, making the preparations. She gets upset because she's working there alone. Her sister Mary sitting there listening to Jesus. And so she goes to Jesus to ask for some help. And she says, "Lord, don't you care that I'm doing this all by myself? Tell my sister Mary to get up and come and help me in the kitchen." And then Jesus rebukes her gently. "Martha, Martha, well, why are you worried and upset about so many things? Only a few things are needed. Really, only one thing's needed. And Mary has chosen the good part and won't be taken from her." So, okay, that's the story. Okay, so let's have some voting here. Okay? So the first question is, do you think, should Mary have been helping Martha in the kitchen? Okay? Now, don't try and give me what you think is the right answer. Give me what you feel. Okay, like put yourself in the situation. You're reading this story. Let's say you were there. Maybe you were sitting there and you saw what was going on there. You saw Mary working in the kitchen. You saw Martha's in the kitchen. You see Mary sitting there. And you're watching the scene. So the question is, do you think Mary should have been in the kitchen helping Martha? Okay, how many of you say yes? Wow, okay, all right, very good. Okay, so majority of you are on Martha's side on this one. Okay, now, so the second question, should Jesus have recognized Martha's need for help and told Mary to go and help her? That's the request that Martha has. So I'm asking you, do you think Jesus should have honored that request? Should he have said, "Yeah, Mary, come on, go help your sister, Martha"? How many of you think Jesus should have done that? Okay, a few of you. Now, so that's interesting. A lot of you think that what should have happened, evidently, is that Mary should have already been there, but since she wasn't there, Jesus shouldn't have told her to go there. Very interesting. Okay. The third question is, do you feel sorry for Martha? How many of you feel sorry for the situation this woman is in? Like, it's such a sad situation for Martha. Oh, okay. All right. And then a third, do you think Martha should have stopped her preparation of the meal and sat down and listened to Jesus like Mary? How many of you think that's what should happen? Okay. All right. Okay. And do you think Jesus was hard on Martha? I mean, here she comes to Jesus and she's burdened And she said, Jesus, won't you help me? Help me out, Jesus. Tell my sister. How many of you think that Jesus' response was, Martha, Martha? I don't know how he said it. Martha, Martha. You're worried and upset about many things. So how many of you think Jesus was actually harsh in his response to Martha? You think he was harsh? Okay, so nobody. Oh, got one. Okay, we got one honest person over here. Okay. All right. Well, let's look at this story. Because it seems clear that a lot of you are Martha sympathizers. And a lot of you would like to have seen this story ended up a little bit different. That either Mary would have recognized Martha's need and gotten up, that she didn't have to be told, although you're not quite sure if Jesus should have told her to do that. Well, let's look first of all at the fact that Martha had a desire to be hospitable. I mean, here it says that as Jesus and his disciples were on the way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And that expression, opened her home, in the text is the definition of hospitality. Inviting and welcoming Jesus into her home, she was practicing hospitality. She wanted Jesus to come into her home. Jesus didn't force his way into her home. He wasn't like Elijah when he went to the widow of Zarephath and said, hey, give me something to eat. It was more like the Shunammite woman who said, please come into my home. I want you here. I want to give you something to eat. And so there's something in her heart that is very good. She wants to honor Jesus. She recognizes that it's good to have Jesus there. And typically in those days, as we see, it wasn't just Jesus, actually. It was Jesus and his disciples. And the type of culture that it was, if Jesus was coming to the home, like you find earlier in the book of Luke, this is chapter 10 and chapter 7, Simon the Pharisee invites Jesus over. And when Jesus came to someone's home, when there was someone in the community like Jesus, other people would show up. You know, in the Middle East, the environment is that it's not so closed. In fact, it's very interesting, like in Sudan, when I was in Sudan, and I was visiting my friend Yasser, and he said, hey, there's a wedding going on down the block, let's go. I said, what do you mean, let's go? He said, oh yeah, there's no guest list. Anybody who hears the music can come in. It's like, wow, how do you prepare the food? Oh, they got to prepare a lot of extra food because they know lots of people are going to show up who aren't invited. I thought, wow, that's a pretty open culture. Well, I'm expecting that not only Jesus and his disciples, but some other people are showing up for this meal. But she wants to have them, and she wants Jesus there. And she's a person who wants to make things happen. She wants to do good. You know, the story that precedes this story is the story of the Good Samaritan. And in the story of the Good Samaritan, there's an emphasis on how to love your neighbor. And at the end of the story, Jesus says to the lawyer asking the question, who sees the story, and he asks, who's the neighbor in the story? And he explains the one who treated the guy right, who took care of his needs. And Jesus says, well, you go and do likewise. And so Martha is going and doing likewise. She's doing good. But we see that, we're going to see that there's a problem. She wants to be the hostess with the mostess. All right. Now, number two. But it tells us that she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, Jesus is evidently coming to like a symposium where he's going to be teaching, he's going to be talking, he's going to be sitting there, and people are going to come around and listen. And Mary wants to be able to hear what Jesus has to say. Now, in hospitality, I've talked about the fact a lot about providing a meal for someone. Hospitality usually involves food and providing some drink. In the first story, when Abraham in Genesis 18 invites the guests, the visitors that are going by, he says, let me get you something to eat. Let me get you something to drink. That is the normal practice of hospitality. But there's something more fundamental to hospitality, more important than the food and the drink, something that is at the center of hospitality that Mary understood. Mary understood the ministry or the the honoring of the guest by her presence, by her attention, by her desire to hear the story that Jesus wanted to tell. Now let me tell you, if you only provide a good meal, and you only provide something to drink, and you only provide the bed, and you are not present with the person who you invite in, if you don't show that they are valuable by your attention, you miss something fundamental to hospitality. Now, Mary understands that the most important thing about having Jesus in the home is to hear what he has to say. And so she sits there. She is ready to receive. She wants to give her full attention to Jesus. Now, hospitality is the way that we honor people. We show their value. We show they're important to us when we practice hospitality. One way we honor them is by giving them our best. You know, the fact is, in many cultures, if you're a guest, they want to serve you a big meal. Some cultures, if you're invited over, they'll spend all day preparing the food, like a 7-course meal. And that's like, this is the way I'm going to show how important you are, is I'm going to spend this time preparing all this food. Now, that is a way of honoring someone, no doubt about it. But there is a higher honor. Let me say this very clearly. The higher honor is not the time spent in preparing the meal. It's the time spent listening and focusing your attention on the person that you invite. That is the higher honor. If you go to someone's home and they give you the meal and they're not with you at all, you don't get a chance to talk to them. You don't get a chance to interact. You are just there. That is not the high honor. Mary understood the essence of hospitality was to be fully present with Jesus, to fully be ready to show that she thought he was so important that she wanted to hear what he had to say. Now the Martha people are going to say yes. You're going to say yes. But. But. And there's a but in this story. But Martha. God's already anticipating you saying but. And yeah, it's right here. But Martha. So this gets us into the heart now of the burden of hospitality in verse 40. But Martha. Yeah, but Martha. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations she had to be made. She came to him and said, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. So the scene changes. So first, you're looking at the scene of hospitality. You see Martha invites him in, and then the focus comes on Mary. This person sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what Jesus has to say. And by the way, that picture of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, you know, in the Bible, the picture of people sitting at the feet of Jesus is something very beautiful. That expression is used when Jairus comes and falls at the feet of Jesus and says, please, Jesus, can you help my daughter? It's what happens when the leper comes and asks for healing from Jesus. He falls at his feet. In Luke 7, when the sinful woman comes into the other meal where Jesus is at Simon the Pharisee's house, and she comes at his feet, and she wipes his feet with her hair and wets them with her tears and pours her, she's at the feet of Jesus. Something about being at the feet of Jesus, it means a posture of humility, a posture of recognizing him as Lord. And three times in this story, Jesus is referred to as Lord. Mary really is putting herself in the position of a disciple, of one who wants to be obedient to Jesus. But Martha. Preparations. She was distracted by all the prep. See, here's the point of the Marthas of this world, and the problem we have with this story is somebody's got to prepare the meal. Somebody's got to do it. So, it's not, what happens if everyone just sat there and listened? Where's the meal? And then I'm a bad hostess. And I want to be a good hostess. I want to serve Jesus. Well, she is serving. She's doing something good. She's preparing a meal. She's not like Simon the Pharisee who didn't give Jesus a kiss and didn't give him any water for his feet and didn't put any oil on his head. She's not like that. But notice, in her preparations, she's distracted. It says she was distracted by all the preparations. And the word there means to pull her away from something, to be burdened by something, to be weighed down. And the reality is, she's distracted from Jesus. She's distracted from the centerpiece of the hospitality. She's removed from her connection with Jesus. The indication is that Martha did want to hear from Jesus, but all these other things that needed to be done kept her from hearing what Jesus had to say. Maybe she kept straining to hear, what's he saying? And then she goes back, you know, and she's doing her, what was it? You know, she's not able to receive. And she is busy. She's busy, busy, busy. She is a busy bee. She's got so much to do. You know, there's so much going on. And it's the main reason, by the way, this is one of the main reasons, first of all, why we don't get to practice hospitality, because we have so many other things to do, so many other preparations in our life, so much on our agenda, so many things that are pushing on our lives already, that to think about inviting people in is like, I got to clean the house, I got to take extra time for my meal preparation, I've got to do all these things that I don't have really time to do. How can I invite someone in? We have our schedules to keep. We have agendas to maintain. You know, we've got obligations to meet. We live hectic and busy lives. And it seems in our world that things are moving faster and faster. I work a lot, you know, with students who face a lot of challenges. They're studying in a second language. They're making culture adjustments. And it's, you know, their life is just pressured and busy. One writer suggests that the world will not end in a natural catastrophe or a cataclysmic war, but it will just keep going faster and faster and faster until, like Han Solo in a Jedi spaceship, we accelerate into warp speed until we evaporate into a puff of cosmic smoke. Whew! And it's gone. We are introduced to a very busy lady, a driven lady, who is high and tough standards. She knows what she needs to do. She knows when she needs to do what she needs to do. She knows just how she wants to do what she needs to do when she wants to do it. Yep. And what does she do? She's in this situation and she's feeling stressed and burdened. So here, this is the reality. Having Jesus in her home is a burden. Having Jesus there is stressful because she can't get done what she thinks needs to get done. I don't know, for those of you who are followers of Jesus, do you ever feel like it's a burden to follow Jesus? Do you ever feel like, wow, I've got all the things I have to do in my life plus all the things Jesus wants me to do? Now, I know that this sounds a little strange for some of you. So what do you mean? Well, you know, before you were a Christian, you had all these things that you had to study and you know, do your housework and do that. And then all of a sudden, well, if you follow Jesus, now I'm supposed to go to church and I'm supposed to serve in a small group and I'm supposed to be hospitable. And you say, wow, what Jesus did was he expanded my agenda. And so it is really difficult to follow Jesus, you know. In fact, I remember sharing Jesus with a guy for a while. And finally he said to me, listen, I can't become a Christian. I said, why? He said, because I don't have time to be a Christian. He said, I see, you know, you guys study the Bible every week together. I don't have enough time to study the Bible every week. You guys go to church on Sunday. I don't have time to go to church on Sunday. I can't be a Christian. I said, oh, I think there's something you're missing here. So I tried to explain that to him. He did become a Christian eventually. But So what is Martha's solution to this problem she's experiencing? This tension, this feeling of burden, like, oh, I'm failing at what I'm supposed to do, and I want to make a good meal, and there's not enough help, and there's so much to do. Her solution is to go to Jesus. Now, the implication is that Jesus is teaching, and she's getting more and more upset. And finally, it's kind of like she can't handle it anymore. She pops. And the indication is that she probably interrupts Jesus in front of everybody. I mean, talk about dishonoring Jesus. And here she wants to honor Jesus, but what she does is she rebukes him in front of everybody. It probably embarrasses her sister. This is like a public situation. She comes right out of the kitchen. She comes right up and says, Jesus, don't you care about me? Whenever, you know, we may be in a situation in life where because of that situation, we feel like God doesn't care about us. The reality is, God cannot care about us any more than he does. You know, the first accusation in the garden was that God was keeping something good from the woman and the man. That God wasn't really good, that God didn't really care fully about that woman in the garden. And so the suggestion was made, you go get it. You get eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil because, you know, God is keeping something good from you. Martha has a total misunderstanding of Jesus because she's angry. Because Jesus isn't doing what she thinks is right to be done. Her conclusion is, if Jesus cared about me, he'd recognize my need and he would solve this problem. And the solution to this problem is very clear. Tell Mary to help me. This is the right role. Why doesn't Jesus see it? It's so obvious. Like, she made some noise in the kitchen, you know, banged some pots around or you know, made some sounds or like maybe she made some announcements from the kitchen. Well, the vegetables still need to be cut. You know, I don't know if she gave out signals or whatever, but it's like, Jesus is evidently dense. He's not picking up the clues. And he's unaware of her needs. Well, she's angry. She's self-pitying. Listen to the self-pity in this statement. My sister has left me to do all the work by myself. Tell her to help me. So she's angry at both Jesus and her sister. She doesn't even want to talk to her sister. She only wants to address Jesus. Jesus is the primary one. And she feels all alone. And she views life as unfair. This is an unfair situation for her. Do you ever feel like life is unfair? That other people have it easier than you? You know, you study all night long for your exam, and the other person, you know, they didn't even study, and they get a better grade than you. This is not fair. You know, you work hard at your job, and someone else gets the promotion. It's not fair. I mean, there are a lot of things in life that aren't fair. You can look at other people's lives and always think, why do they have it easier than you have it? Why do their children, you know, behave better? Why is their marriage so much easier? And when we get into that situation in our life where we feel like life is unfair to me, we're in a Martha situation. I think a lot of us end up in that place of feeling life is unfair. And Jesus wants to help us. He does want to help us. But the solution to helping us is not by doing what we think we need. The solution for Martha is really not for Jesus to say to Mary, oh, Mary, go help your sister. That really is not the solution to this situation, even though Martha thinks that's the solution. Now, the key to this story, for those of you who are really struggling with Martha and her role, is this. If is this story supposed to be about Martha or about Jesus? And if Martha asked the question of Jesus, Jesus, what do you want? Do you think Jesus would have said to her, Martha, what I want you to stay in the kitchen and prepare a big meal for me. I'm really looking forward to that big meal. You know, that's why I came to your house today. I heard you were a good cook, and I was so glad when you invited me in. Now get back in the kitchen and cook. Listen, I think the goal of the host is not to get the guest on her agenda, but the goal of the host is to find out what is the agenda of the guest and want to meet that. Jesus' agenda was not to come for a big meal. Because later on when he says, listen, only a few things are needed, and indeed only one, there's two ways of taking that statement. One of the ways is to understand Jesus saying, listen, I don't need much to eat. I really am not here about the meal. I only need a little bit to eat. It's okay if we just have a one-course meal, Martha. That's fine with me. I'm happy. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to say, hey, what kind of host are you? Because we only have a one-course meal. I mean, you know, when Jesus cooked, by the way, and Jesus did cook. He was the greatest cook ever. He made simple meals. When his disciples came after his resurrection, he cooked a little fish, a little bread. Now, Jesus could have made the 10-course meal. He can do that. But he gave a simple meal because in those meals, it was about relationship. Do you remember when Jesus and Peter were having a conversation and Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter said, no, you cannot wash my feet. Now Peter had a little misunderstanding there about the fact that if Jesus wanted to do something, that Peter should have said yes. And so Jesus did give him an explanation. Well, listen, Peter, this is how we have a relationship with one another, because me washing your feet is a picture of me washing your sins. And if you don't let me wash your sins, we really aren't going to have a relationship. And then Peter said, okay, if that's what it's about, then give me a whole bath. You know, I'm ready. Okay, now I understand. Please, yes, yes. So if Martha had had a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus said to Martha, I'd like you to come and sit down. And Martha says, no, no, I got to do all these preparations. Don't you understand? I got to cook a meal. And Jesus said, listen, Martha, this is not what it's about. What it's about is me and you having a relationship, and I got something to tell you. And you haven't been able to sit down long enough to listen to what I have to tell you. I really got something I want to give you, Martha. See, if you think it's about what you're going to give to me, you got it wrong. I came to your house to give you something. If Martha said, oh, Lord, then let the meal burn. I'll sit here and listen to what you have to say to me. I'm ready. Go ahead. Give it all to me. That would have been a good response. You see, I think the reason why we are sympathizing so much with Martha is because we're so much into her agenda. We can understand her agenda. But Jesus has a different agenda. Jesus has a way of always turning things upside down. And his turning it upside down is to say, what you think is important in this situation, Martha, is not the most important thing. You got to get my priorities. And my priority is, first of all, relationship. Oh, I know this is a struggle. It's still a struggle, right? Because you're still thinking about the meal. Well, let's look at what Jesus says here. Point four, a Savior's rebuke and a call to true hospitality and discipleship. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken from her. Is Jesus angry? This is a name is repeated twice, like Martha, Martha. It's a very emotional way of speaking. But we are told in John that Jesus loved Martha. We know Jesus loves everybody. I believe that Jesus, in his love for Martha, out of his concern for her, sees her condition and wants to rebuke her, wants to correct her so she can get out of that condition and can enjoy what he has for her. So I don't think he's upset with Martha. I mean, he could have been offended. He could have said, Martha, Martha, don't you know who I am? What's the deal here? You know, you're disrespecting me in front of all these people. Cut it out. No, no. Jesus is not focused on himself. He's not thinking, hey, you made me look really bad in front of this crowd, Martha. No, he's concerned about her. Martha, Martha, you are upset and worried about many things. Oh, look at your heart. You're missing the peace that I want to give you. You're missing the joy I have for you. Martha, Martha. Now, the word worry that's used here, that you are worried about many things. You know, in the story of the soils that Jesus told, one of the soils is the soil that is the thorny soil. Listen to what Jesus said earlier, just two chapters before in Luke 8. He said, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Jesus is saying to Martha, Martha, your heart is becoming thorny. You are allowing the weeds to grow in your heart. And the evidence of that is the worry. Well, what's going on? Mary is the picture of the good soil. Jesus said, to those who listen and understand, more will be given to them, and those who do not listen, what they have will be taken away from them. Here Jesus is saying, no, it won't be taken away from Mary, but it can be taken away from you if you don't stop and listen. She has misplaced priorities, mistaken principles. She has the wrong conscience, and he rebukes her in love. You know, I think that Jesus is focusing on the one thing that's necessary. The one thing. Let me show this little video clip from a movie that's a classic movie called City Slickers. Any of you ever seen the movie City Slickers? No, it's about this guy who goes out west and he's a city guy and he wants to go out there to experience his life and find his life. And this is a very short interaction where the guy from the city is talking to the cowboy about life. Let's go ahead and play that video.
Do you know what the secret of life is?
He says, no, you know what the secret of life is?
This.
Your finger?
One thing. Just one thing.
That's great, but what's the one thing?
That's what you gotta figure out.
That's a little humorous thing there where the guy says, the secret of life is this. And the guy says, your finger? I said, no, it's knowing what's the one thing. And he ends by saying, what's the one thing? Well, the cowboy should have told him what Jesus said. The one thing that is necessary is to be in relationship with Jesus, where we allow him to speak to us. Mary, that's what Mary wanted. That's what Jesus wanted for Martha. And whenever we get worried and upset, whenever our hospitality becomes burdensome, we know we're missing the one thing. Whenever our life becomes so much like we feel like our life is unfair, we feel like everything is just a mess and there's no direction in it, it's because we're disconnected from Jesus. Here's a verse from 1 John 5:3. It says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Jesus, in his beautiful invitation in Matthew 11, says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, the amazing thing about this story, every story we've talked about so far has had a resurrection in it. And there's a resurrection that comes in this story. It's not right here, but Jesus comes back to this house again, and Mary and Martha have a brother named Lazarus, and Lazarus dies. And Jesus comes and raises Lazarus from the dead. Again, in the practice of hospitality, there's this power that shows up. Even though Martha was so worried and upset, Jesus still comes and shows his resurrection power. But I think Martha changed. I do believe that. So let me get to the application part of this for us. I mean, hopefully God has already been speaking to you. So the first thing is, the way we practice hospitality will reveal our communion with Jesus. And if we understand that in practicing hospitality, it's about Jesus and about welcoming Jesus and giving our, when we focus our time and attention on our guest, that we're honoring Jesus, that is what honors him. And when we are ready to listen to what God has to say to us when we're practicing hospitality, and we do it the way he wants us to do it, rather than how we want to do it, then we will commune with God. This is not about doing more and more. This is about following Jesus. This is not letting your life become busier and busier. This is about living a lifestyle where we encounter God. And when you are hesitant to make room in your life to practice hospitality, there's a disconnection. And when you have people and you invite them in and it's burdensome, there is a disconnection. And when it seems like your life is just too full and too much and you cannot have people where you listen to them, there's a disconnection. We need to be Jesus-centered people, and Jesus will tell us who to invite in. And when we do that, he will be with us in it, and we will experience power. Don't make hospitality a check-off thing to do in your list of things to do. Don't make it a burdensome thing that here's another thing I have to do for Jesus. No, you get the privilege. We get the privilege of inviting Jesus in. Number two, be encouraged that Jesus is gracious in his rebuke of Martha. You know, Jesus came to bless Martha. He came to that home to give Martha something. He wanted a relationship with Martha. He wanted to speak words to Martha that would encourage her, that would help her. But she did not receive the blessing. And he rebuked her because he wanted her to make wise choices and get her priorities right. Let me ask you, if you are Jesus' disciple this morning, would he rebuke you for being too busy? The way you know you're too busy is when you start to not have time to listen to God. I know a lot of students who say, well, I have so much to do, so many assignments, I don't have time to read his word. I know people who stop coming to church because there's just so much that they have to do, but I think Jesus might rebuke you when you become like that to say, whatever your name is, Martha, Martha, because of your preparations, you're worried and upset about many things, but I have something to tell you and you're not able to hear it. That's the sad thing when Jesus wants to speak to us and because we think we have so much to do, we miss the words of life and we miss the relationship with Jesus. If you are pulled away from Jesus and from his word, from the means of his grace, and from those things associated with his name and the advance of his kingdom, if you're being pulled away from him, even though you don't want that to happen, if you're getting upset and worried about many things, if you want to be with him, but there's other things going on in your life, then he calls your name with empathy, and he, with warning and with tenderness, that you are in danger of being thorny and having the word of God choked out of your life. Don't bristle with Jesus if he comes to rebuke you today. Don't withdraw if he says, listen, you're too busy. He's ready to welcome you back into a close, intimate relationship where he will speak to you about what you need. If the Holy Spirit would rebuke you this morning, it's because he loves you. I think we struggle with this, brothers and sisters. I so much long to be able to listen like Mary. And I know I can be like Martha. I know that sometimes if there was a Workaholics Anonymous meeting, that maybe I would be there and say, my name is Rich Mendola and I work too much. But I want to learn from this story, don't you? Don't you want to be in the place of a Mary? Let me ask you these questions. This last slide. Will you listen to the rebuke of Jesus today? Will you receive his invitation to practice the hospitality of presence? Will you invite Jesus into your life today? By the way, this story about Jesus being Martha welcoming Jesus into her home is a picture of what it means when we come to Christ. You know, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door and let me in, I will come in and have supper with him. This is the picture of becoming a Christian. If you're not a Christian, it means that you invite Jesus into your life where he can dwell in you and he can be Lord. And that's a beautiful thing because he loves you, he died for you, and today might be the day that if God is speaking to you, that you'll invite Jesus into your house, into your life. And Jesus will love that. And will you receive the refreshment God has for you today? So the way I'd like to do this today is, you know, we have a time of prayer when we close the service. And I think recently, some of you have not availed yourself of the means of God's grace to speak to you through the prayer time. Everyone here today is needy in some way. We're not perfected. That means we have needs. We're broken in some areas. Some of us are here today with physical sickness. Some of us are here with emotional troubles. Some of us are here today with decisions. We don't know what the right thing is. We need wisdom. You know, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit was pictured as oil. And so when they anointed people with oil, like the king, and the oil came down, it was a picture of God's power coming on them. And Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And James says, if anyone is sick among you, let him call the elders and be anointed with oil. I'm not a guy who likes a lot of symbols, but I appreciate the fact that Jesus took bread and wine and took those symbols and made them so meaningful so that when we take it through our meditation, God can speak to our hearts. So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Vu to assist me up here. And we have some oil. And I would love for the opportunity for you to come and to be anointed with oil today. And what that will mean is that you want the blessing of the Holy Spirit to be speaking to you and empowering you today. If you're sick, then we're going to pray for God's healing in your life. If you just say, Lord, have mercy on me. If it's like you're the Martha, maybe you just want the anointing so that you can get out of the busyness that leads you to worry and self-pity and upset. If that's you, God will bless you today. Because he will come and speak to you like he did to Mary. So I'm going to, as we come to the worship team comes, if you are not wanting to do that, no one's being forced to do that, you can stay and sing if you don't feel prompted to do that. But I'd love to just see a release of God's people today to come and receive a blessing from God through this anointing with oil. So we'll be up here and you can come.